Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links and stuff like that. And if you have an idea for a topic, wadeandwillie@gmail.com. I don't check it. If you want to get in touch with me, you got to get on the Discord and then you have to actually at my name. And that's the only way I'll ever see it.
That's funny. I take too many breaks from Discord. I'm like, oh, if you added me, oh, sorry.
Oh, I just get the notification. Like Mob King just added me about that my job is a front. Oh, and I wanted to say, I forgot to say this. All those restaurants we were talking about, all those like bodegas and stuff that we were like, how do they make money? It's got to be a front for something. They fence goods. That's what the front.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You go in there with like a Rembrandt or something and they're like, we'll get this to the right people.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So just so you know, so if you ever wind up in one of those dusty, you're like trying to buy donuts or something. And
if you're going to a store in LA and you don't think they have any business making money
or New York.
Oh, yeah.
Or kind of any of the big cities, I'm pretty sure criminal operations exist in all of them.
If they look at you weird because you're asking about their weird dusty products, like how fresh is this?
How old is this banana? You can't tell by looking at it. What am I? The producer? Is that what they call the produce people? Producers? It'd be funny if they did, right? Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. I know that she used to do camera. She went to college. Were you communications or journalism?
Technical journalism.
Technical journalism. We knew her at CSU. Now she's editing something, I hear. This is the worst introduction. But she lives outside of Boston, which is weird. Because you're not racist, I don't think. Welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend, Emily Langner. Hello, Emily.
What's the SSRLF?
Oh, it's our ship that we're flying around in right now.
Oh, sweet. Okay. I like that. All right.
What are you editor for?
A trade magazine in
what's the trade?
Boston, the construction and architecture industries.
So you're like, that's not a T hammer, that's a A hammer.
Yeah, stuff man, like I know everything about building buildings now.
Do you know if they call the produce people in grocery stores producers?
They don't, but that would be really great.
Oh, you know that they don't?
No.
That's what I'm going to start calling them now. Can I talk to your producer? Yes, these greens are overwatered.
You're going to have to talk to the director about that. The director of food services. This is a podcast where we talk about, conspiracies and stuff like that. Are you into that stuff? Have you ever been into that stuff? Do you have a curious mind when it comes to that stuff?
I know that the person that I know that's the most into it is Willie, because he always has been, and I've been hearing that many, many years, all the time we've been friends. And so that's like my only gauge, is to decide whether I think these kinds of things are true on a case-by-case basis. I don't think that I will believe everything. I think I have lots of fear about things like aliens taking you and stuff.
Why? A lot of the people who get abducted, allegedly, don't even like remember that they got abducted. So what's to fear?
How do they know?
I don't know. They come back and they have like a mark on their arm, and then they get online, and then people are like, oh, that's an implant. You've been abducted. And then their life spirals out of control.
I don't think I look up things
was
on
there,
purpose.
So I had a healthy fear of alien abduction for a long time. Was there a movie that you track it back to? Just curious. Or Close Encounters of the Third
Kind.
Well,
what would it have been? Yeah, there's that. Arrival? No, not Arrival. What was the...
Well, listen, this is...
Oh, Fire in the Sky? That was a big one. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I was scared by E.T. Like, really scared watching
Every
that movie.
Every kid was.
Oh,
The third act of E.T. was terrifying. When the government comes around and shit. But not the E.T.'s.
I was scared when they were like telling him to go back on the ship. I would have been really scared of that ship landing there. And I'd be afraid that they would try to take me.
Even if you were Elliot and you had a friend named E.T.?
Well, he was just sad that his friend was leaving.
I don't think I've ever seen E.T. Like, I know, I kind of know it, but I'm not sure I've ever seen it. I've probably seen it in parts.
It's pretty good. I watched it recently. It holds up. It's a decent family movie. As scary as it can be.
Yeah, it was scary. I don't know, man. I don't know why.
Generally scary, right? It's like it's like fun. They like fly bikes around and stuff.
That only happens when there's danger. But yeah, it's pretty
fun. Yeah, that is just the end, huh? What do they do the whole rest of the time?
A kid gets drunk.
Which kid?
Well, like he has a connection with E.T., so E.T. is at home drinking beer, and so Elliot's at school drunk.
Why does E.T. drink beer?
He just raids the fridge, doesn't know shit.
Does he know that he's going to get fucked up? Is he like trying to party?
I mean, after one, you got to know, right?
Yeah, yeah, like this feels great. I want this all the time. And only this?
Dude, maybe this is how they came up with Alf. It's like they were just trying to think of the funniest E.T. story.
Does
lines.
Alf get drunk?
He does all kinds of human stuff, I think.
He does not, because they were trying to make a primetime family show, but that's how he acts.
You can't get drunk in primetime family. Al Bundy would disagree.
That's true. I think Alf was just like, you know, throwing digs at people
and cats.
Like,
I know he liked to eat cats or whatever. And then the father was like a meth addict. Like he fucked a boy hooker.
Oh my God.
On meth. And there's video.
Oh, fuck.
Or maybe it was crack. It was one of those. I don't want to slander the man.
Yeah, I think it was crack.
All right. Well, let's jump into the WoW scale.
Wow.
The WoW scale stands for Waiter Willy. It's a five-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willy. Are you ready to be Wade on the WoW scale?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
First question, three-part. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, yes, yes.
Shit. All right. Ghosts.
No.
Bigfoot.
Oh man, I've shot so many Bigfoot movies, I just can't even think if I feel like I am just pissed off by the cheesiness of that. I don't think so.
All right. Was 9/11 an inside job?
Oh my, that got serious.
Well, it's been 25 years almost.
Fuck.
So like time heals all wounds, like fucking 9/11, whatever.
Yeah.
9/11's like a punchline now.
I'm 100%.
Oh, fuck. I think no. That doesn't mean to say that I don't think people like covered things up and like, you know, try to cover their own asses and stuff. But I don't think in general it was.
I mean, if it was your job to like make sure that buildings don't fall and then buildings start falling, you're not going to be like, sorry, that was me. Like everyone, when I fuck up at work, I cover it up. I don't need you to talk about how I fucked up. I'll just fix it real quick. Do you believe in the multiverse?
Are there other Emilys out there that exist concurrently?
I think so. I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
We're gonna give you we'll give you a two. So you're more on the Wade side than you are on a Willie side. Does that surprise you to hear?
It doesn't. No, I think that's pretty accurate.
So that being said, yeah, let's just jump into the topic. Willie, hit us with it.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Roswell. That old UFO story, what really happened? It's been years since you really thought about it, and it's been brushed off as just a classic conspiracy. But there are blatant truths that are withheld from the main story. Let's jump into some of those little truths that are out there. Plus, our guest's mom grew up in around that area and has a story of her own. So let's hear that and get into it tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
So, okay. Roswell, let me just here. Let me set the table. Here's what I know about Roswell. Sometime in like the 40s, am I right so far?
Yep.
An alien ship allegedly kind of went down near Roswell, New Mexico. And in the past, we looked at the newspapers and we looked at like the photos that made it into the paper and stuff like the next day or a week later or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, it's a weather balloon. Like, we got all these things here on the floor. These are weather balloon things. But there was also like this, like a lot of people are just like not into that. Right. I mean, that's kind of the story, right?
That's the main story. If you Google it, that's the basic main story. This is 1947, July 7th, actually. So yesterday, a few years back,
1947.
Yeah.
It's been over 80 years. It's almost the 80. Oh, now I've lost all the numbers, but whatever. Happy birthday, Roswell.
Yes. Happy birthday, Roswell. I will say, so that first year, it really became a story because this pilot was flying over the Cascade Mountains in Washington State looking for a crashed military aircraft. He saw these 9 crescent shaped objects flying. He described them as like a saucer would if you skipped it over the water. So that's where flying saucer came from. That was June of 1947, June 24th. So the
Wait,
next
hang
week,
on, hang on, hang on. Who was skipping saucers across lakes?
I mean, I love skipping rocks. If I could skip a metallic plate, I mean, that like sounds
we're gonna
cool,
take,
but you're going to go
we're gonna
collect
take,
it.
We're going to take mom's china. Fucking skip those saucers. They're little.
I mean, I really want to try it now. You know, you picture that Back to the
Future. I feel
future,
like it would be harder.
Frisbee pie plate thing. Frisbee.
Yeah.
I'll just go through some more basic things. So lightning storm, this rancher, Mac Brazel, on July 7th, contacted the sheriff's office because he found some debris in his field. And he actually found it days earlier, but then the UFOs, then the flying saucers stories came out. He's like, oh, I should tell the sheriff about it. They brought the Fort Worth Army Airfield Major out, Jesse Marcel, to come look at it. And, you know, this, yeah, as the story goes, they took pictures with the, it's like, no, this is a weather balloon. We're just doing weather tests. But, they did do a story in the newspaper. And I want to say, so I'm going to read this. The military base's public information officer, Walter Hout, worked with a local journalist to release a newswire report about the event. Here's his report, very quick. The many rumors regarding the flying disc became a reality yesterday when the intelligence office of the 509th Bomb Group of the 8th Air Force Roswell Army Airfield was fortunate enough to gain possession of a disc through the cooperation of one of the local ranchers and the sheriff's office of Chaves County. The flying object landed on a ranch near Roswell sometime last week. Not having phone facilities, the rancher stored the disc until such time as he was able to contact the sheriff's office, who in turn notified Major Jesse Marcel of the 509th Bomb Group Intelligence Office. Action was immediately taken and the disc was picked up at the rancher's home. It was inspected at the Roswell Army Airfield and subsequently loaned by Major Marcel to higher headquarters.
What are you reading from?
This was a release of a newswire report. So this went out as a newswire to news outlets.
Well, I never heard this. So there's actual news about a saucer.
And the rancher holding it, you know? So like the official first newswire thing about it has little facts in it. I'll put in quotes that just weren't in the official story. people forgot about it, you know?
Okay, well, let's pause. Emily, you've talked to your mom about this, but before you did, what was your belief? What do you believe that Roswell was an alien craft that had crashed, or did you think it was all nonsense?
It's hard because I did talk to her recently, but I think that I used to just think that, like, the whole military thing was that there was always, like, some explanation.
Like it's a test flight or something? Okay.
Yeah, that was, like, the government. I guess I always felt like it was the government doing weird shit, and that they... That's the theory I get on board with the most, is when they say, like, oh, yeah, this can all be explained away because it was all government stuff.
So,
right. And, okay. But you don't even believe the cover story that it's a weather balloon.
I don't think so. I don't think I believe that. Yeah.
They put out this newspaper article that's like, hey, we recovered a craft. That's not what happened. It was a weather balloon. In 1978, this is when Roswell kind of got big. Because, like, after this, you know what I mean? We were in a time in 1947, something came out, the military told you what it was, that's what it was, you know? So nobody questioned the story changing, like, okay, they fucked up, whatever. And then people started coming forward and being like, that's not, you know, there actually was some weird shit. So in 1978, there was this nuclear physicist turned ufologist, Stanton Friedman, who was tipped off by some retired military that wasn't the true story. So he did a little documentary and started interviewing people. And this is where all of the main weird Roswell stories came out. A lot of these still aren't in the mainstream. You've got to watch a documentary and it sounds fake or whatever, but I just wanted to get to this because then, so people started digging deeper into it. And then there was a buzz around it. Then in the '90s, there was that crazy, stupid alien autopsy video. So the military then came out in the '90s, was like, okay, look, we were spying on Russia to see if they were setting off nukes. And we also dropped some dummies from high altitude. So the stories got mixed up. Those alien bodies that no one's talking about in the main public. So they have the alien autopsy video. Like, it was actually just high altitude crash test dummies. That's the official story. It was that, yeah, they found some dummies.
That's part of the official story.
Yeah,
that just sounds like. I've never heard that they were calling the aliens crash test dummies.
It makes me so mad because you don't make child size crash test dummies at any rate.
But you don't know the actual sizes. Right?
No. They later released pictures of these dummies and they're human. They're tall. They're regular human sizes.
Well, sure, but then what? So where's the child one?
So I only bring that up because some of the past stories of these interviews, and I watched an interview today. There's the U.S. National Archive has some interviews. This was from 1990. This mortician in this area was interviewed because he's a big part of the story. The military base called him and they're like, "Hey, how would you handle collecting bodies so that you wouldn't contaminate them?" And they had all these questions for him. He's like, "Well, let me just come out and look what you're talking about. It's a case by case situation, like how to collect dead bodies laying out and not contaminate them." And they're like, "No, you can't come out." So there was a buzz going around about shit. He went to the Air Force hospital base because it's a small community and he knew some people there. And as he was there, he sees his friend and she's like, "What are you doing here? Like, how'd you get in here? You got to get out of here." And in through a room that she came out of, he sees some crafts and wreckage. And he says it looked like kind of like a steel parts of a canoe boat. But the steel was not, like, it was kind of blue. And he's like, "You know, I noticed some, like, what looked like Egyptian hieroglyphs written on some of the pieces and so
I'm
he
seeing,
like,
it through a door. I don't believe this guy.
If you listen to him, he's pretty matter of fact and he's like calling out all these facts. And the girl that he knew, even though this was her first assignment, she got transferred and he was friends with her trying to contact her, and she's like, all of a sudden she's like, "I'm in London now, they transferred me." It's like, "Well, that's weird, you just got this assignment." And then he got sent another letter to her and it came back saying that she was deceased. At any rate, they were asking him if they had any caskets that they could, child-sized casket. What's the smallest casket you have that we could hermetically seal some a creature in?
At any rate, this is the 40s and shit, but like these guys didn't know how to like make a box. I get it, the hermetically seals and stuff, but you got like, don't you have engineers even in the 40s in the military that can like make shit? And they're asking the local coroner?
Mortician. So when he was talking to his friend later on, this is a conversation they had in between her being transferred and missing. She said that there were three bodies. Two of them were so mutilated that you couldn't tell what they were. And they were like black, probably from the elements, because it was like over 100 degrees in the desert. And they'd been out for a few days. One of them looked like it could have walked out of the craft, like it survived. Two of them were totally destroyed, couldn't identify anything. She was like, maybe a predatory animal did some damage to them. She had some drawings that she did. But she said the heads were larger than humans. They didn't have thumbs. The tips of their fingers looked like pads that maybe could have been suction cups. No fingernails. Lips were long and narrow, not full lips. No teeth. The gums that she felt like, said like it was like hard as rawhide, and they only had two orifices for their ears. No like ear thing, anything sticking out. Nose hole, two orifices, not convex. Eyes were set back in the skull, and the skull was like not bone. It was like heavy cartilage. So the doctors were saying that like it couldn't have been, it probably wasn't from Earth, and they had other reasons too. And they said it was, they had really skinny bone arms and probably couldn't lift up 50 pounds. These are just her notes. Delicate skin, almost transparent. At any rate, okay, so despite all this, these things are, and you can watch these interviews that are in the National Archive, but they're just definitely not a part of the story. They add to the conspiracy or whatnot. I only bring all this up because there were a lot of people that were interviewed on record talking about their experiences that happened. It just aren't a part of the story. And so the Air Force actually says this now. So they did switch out the crash material and used all that. They used a weather balloon, but they say that they took the secret craft that they made and hid that away. So they're saying there was a cover up. It was just another craft they didn't want people to know they had. So the pictures of that aluminum foil is definitely not anything real, according to even the Air Force. But a lot of the people that had touched that material said that it was as thin as a Lucky Strike foil wrapper. And if you wrinkled it up, it would just go back straight. It would like, it was very thin. You could wrinkle it up, but then it would like go back straight. And that kid, one of the guy's kids actually had a piece for a long time. Like stole it, but then they confiscated it back from him. So anyways,
is the general thing with all of this always, is the government always trying to cover it up, or is it like, does it even happen?
Some people think that because there was a buzz about it, a lot of people were making stuff up to get notoriety because it got a buzz in the 70s.
It's okay.
But a lot of people back then were saying that, and even in some of these interviews, they're like, well, they were launching weather balloons every fucking day. So everybody knew what the fuck a weather balloon was, but they were also used to the secrecy. It's like, I had listened to an interview about a guy who worked at the news station over there. And before they released anything, they'd always check with the military and be like, okay. And they'd be like, nope, we're going to release this later. You can't, there's sensitive information, because there were always crashes. Military craft. So it's like, oh, we can't talk about it yet. But this particular one, the government called them and said, we heard you have some information, because they interviewed the rancher before the military did. And they're like, if you release this information, like, you're going to get shut down. It's like, okay. So it was different for them because they've never been threatened with being shut down before. And they always worked with the military.
Okay. So, Wade, you don't think any of this is real, any of it? Like, there's no such thing as aliens?
In this crash, I don't know. It's like we just said, it's been 80 years. like eyewitness accounts are so like not accountable, I guess, for lack of a better word. Like this paper that this gum wrapper or whatever that just like straightens itself. It's just kind of like, I don't know, prove it. I just don't care, I guess. Like, it's interesting. I want there to be aliens because like I hate life. And if they came and like, if it was like a Independence Day scenario where aliens came and just like blew everything up, I'd be so excited because I don't think I don't think I'd pay rent anymore. I think at that point I'm like, oh, cool. I don't have to have a job anymore. I'm going to ride this out. So I would love for there to be aliens. I want this to be real. But because it's been 80 years and like it doesn't feel like these aliens are going to come change anything. If this is real, it means that it's been covered up or that the government has like stopped it or they're working together or whatever, which just means more bad news for me, you know? So I would rather it not be true because I would like for the aliens to come and like really make a point, you know. I don't want just like a crash alien thing. It doesn't help me in any way.
Right, and it makes it more depressing that they're hiding the information, that they're dealing with it somehow, like.
Right. I mean, that's just par for the course, right? Like I don't trust the government. So, of course, they would, if this happened, they would do that. They would figure out a way to like subvert the truth and make our lives worse. You know, they would take the ship and like make new weapons so that they could like blow up more fucking brown people somewhere. And I'm just sitting here going like, fucking come on. This is tiresome.
Basically, like the government is putting the kibosh on everything that could bring us all greater happiness.
Yeah, because because they're slaves to capitalism and they don't make money unless they know that Walmart makes money.
Yeah, I get that.
Aliens would fuck up Walmart, right? Like if aliens existed, no one would go to Walmart. They need to just like grow up. Like they need to let us in on this shit and then see how we react. Don't fucking do this like
that's what you're saying. Like they're intercepting all these great things that could be like these life-changing things for us.
Right.
Like, if it wasn't for the government, that we would have like all these aliens coming in and like.
Right. I mean, here's the weird thing. World.
And even if they killed us, then I'm like, cool. Okay. Yes. Kill us. I don't care.
Something
like,
happened.
Fucking something. Just give me anything, man. I'm so bored.
Yeah. I see it as like this weird survival thing, too, where it's like, okay, if this information gets out, I know that there's a bunch of other things that need to be true for what I'm about to say to be true. But it's just like, okay, they've got free energy, whether they're hostile or not. If they're not, then there's just kind of like no need for these military entities.
Well, here's what I'll say, Willie, just because I feel like you need a perspective when it comes to like wrapping all of these conspiracy theories up together. I don't know. If this is real, then it means that aliens are bad because that means that they're definitely working with the government. If Roswell happened, then aliens are working with the government.
One idea that's out there is they weren't, that this was an accident, them come, you know, crashing, but like
some scout ship or something.
They wouldn't reveal themselves to us unless we got rid of all of our nukes. That was one idea. So it's like, there's no point for us to say hi.
Well, but that doesn't make any sense either, because then you're like, all right, so you're smart enough to get to a different planet. And then you're not smart enough to see like how corrupt that the leaders are. You're just like, oh, get rid of nukes. But they didn't get rid of nukes, so we're just going to take off. Like, that's not helpful.
I think that they're still here just gathering resources, whatever they do. But they just start dealing with us.
No, that's not helpful either. See, everything that you're saying makes me despise the aliens because they're just like sitting around taking our resources. Talk about illegal aliens.
Yeah, but you're saying that you just want them to be only doing whatever it is that is entertaining for us.
No, I'm saying that if you believe that Roswell happened and it was aliens, then they are working with the government. There's not a different way for that to make sense because it's been 80 years. So unless it was just like a rogue ship that happened into our atmosphere and crashed and we don't know anything about like where it came from or whatever, that's like the only way that this is like an innocent ordeal. Right.
Yeah, maybe the government intercepted them and they were like, so the first time they came, you're saying the government intercepts them and goes, all right, you got a decision to make.
Well, yeah. And there's one story out there that like, yes, they retrieve crafts. They crash all the time and it's always a cover up. And whether they worked with them or not, just keeping it from us, you know,
that is just like I don't know who's saying that and what their purpose is of putting that out there, that they crash all the time and the government covers it up every time.
I know it's not, it's definitely not all the time, but like there's a couple in other countries where like there's fishy stories of like American military coming in when and taking the crafts and they're like, why is the American military here?
That only just reaffirms my distrust of the entire thing, right? Like if they've recovered multiple alien ships, that only gives more like fuel to the belief that they're working with the aliens.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, if you mix Bob Lazar into this mix, he was an engineer hired to reverse engineer these UFO crafts. And he said that there were at least four different models of ships that they had.
Wait.
And that they were sentient.
Yeah, but like you get into Bob Lazar
too many,
and like
too many things.
No, it's not too many. It kind of is, but it's just like, I don't understand Bob Lazar's angle in any of this shit. Like, I mean, I do understand it. He wants to make money and that's what he's doing. I just don't know what kind of weird mind that you would have to be like creating four different ships. Do you know what I mean? Like this guy who I'm saying is conning people. Why would you come up with four ships? I guess I'm trying to talk myself out of why he would do that.
Does it help you to have specific details about different things to like just keep your head going instead of like,
yeah, or is it just the most salacious thing that you can say? I don't know. Bob Lazar, give Emily a quick and the audience a quick recap of Bob Lazar.
So he worked at Area 51, which is supposedly where this craft went to. And S4 is one of the places on there. They do Northrop Grumman and a couple other places. They are military contractor entities test secret craft out there. And supposedly they have been reverse engineering crafts since this one. And
no, but like him.
And
then he worked there and shit.
No, he didn't. He didn't write it.
Any books?
No, he came out anonymously to blow the whistle on this place where he was working because he was like, people need to know. And then they figured out who he was. So then he started talking about it, but it was years after he spilled the beans because he was like, you know, humans need to know that non-humans exist and they're building crafts.
I forgot what happened, but we were about to get into Emily's mom's story and then we didn't.
Where did your mom grow up?
My mom was born in Roswell and then she grew up in Farmington, New Mexico. But I think it's interesting when you guys are talking about the people who come out with stories to achieve notoriety. That's like when I was talking to my mom and like as part of her story, it's always like her mom, she was with her mom when they were driving and had this encounter, and her mom, the first thing she said was, "Don't tell anyone." So it's like the opposite.
Yeah, it's like what, it makes like, you crazy. People look at you.
What was the encounter?
All right, so it's between Albuquerque and Cuba, New Mexico, which I think is like north of Roswell a little bit.
Yeah.
But my mom was driving, and they basically were in Albuquerque, I think, for the day. And her mom was sitting in the passenger seat. And so they were just driving on like this dark road.
What year is this?
Okay, so she said it was in the summer of 1966. And you know what? When she told me the story too, I asked her if it was this whole culture of people already feeling like aliens exist and all this stuff. And she said no. She said that it was like there was definitely no tourist element to it at all. But it was mostly just like, yeah, maybe you have heard of it once or twice. But again, that like nobody will say it because they're all afraid to be called crazy. So I don't know if like the salacious part of it happened later where people were like, you know, getting into saying what actually happened. But this like actually happened to her and she wanted to tell no one, which I think is so interesting. It's the opposite of when you are arguing like whether people are making stuff up.
Yeah.
Anyways, my mom and my grandma were driving. My mom noticed there was just like light in the back of the car. And my mom asked my grandma, "Is there something behind us?" And she said, my grandma said, "Yeah, there's something, but it's not a car." And so she just sort of described how like her biggest things were that something just appeared behind their car. The light was not like light that would shine into your rear view mirror, but she said it just looked like whatever the thing was just had lights on it. And that there, like she said it to me, like there was light coming into the car, but not like in the way that a headlight would shine into your
car. Yeah. Like not a beam of light, just like a sort of like ambient. Yeah.
Yes. She said that the lights then turned from like a white to like this sort of more shady kind of light. And then it just went red. And so the lights went red. And she's saying that her mom is basically looking out the window, describing the whole thing, like as she's seen it. And my grandma said that it looked cigar shaped, which I don't know. My mom said that maybe that was like, could be a shape like a flying saucer or something, but it followed them like that with the red lights. And then my mom said that she floored it because my grandma said to get the hell out of there. And then my mom floored it, but it stayed with them and followed them for like 3 to 4 minutes. And my grandma's watching it the whole time. And then she said it like lifts up into the air. And then they drove, you know, my mom drove like a bat out of hell to get to like a diner or something. And she said they sat in the car for quite a while thinking that it may be like hovering over them because they were just scared shitless the whole time that this thing was just hovering around them. But then they went into the diner and my grandma's, as they were walking in, said, "Don't tell anyone."
What's your mom's name?
Nancy.
Nancy! Skedaddle!
Don't tell anybody! They're going to think you're crazy, Nancy.
Put the pedal to the metal, Nancy!
She said that it was the glowy lights.
What does your mom think it was? What, did you ask her? Like, does she think it was aliens?
Hands down, my mom was like, she said that this is undescribable. Like, she said they didn't go to bed for hours. They were all just sitting there, you know, scared out of their minds. Like, she described it as like something like not in this world or not in, you know, that nothing like they had seen in the modern
world. Has she seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I don't know.
It's pretty nuts because they took a lot of stories that of encounters that people had just like this, and that's what the movie is a bunch of encounters mixed together with the story surrounded by it. So, you know, it makes sense if this certain race of aliens and, you know, like ran into us, like that they're going to explore and figure out in remote areas what the heck's going on.
Yeah, you know what's different, Willie, though? Most of the ones that I've heard about this and in Close Encounters, there's something happens to the electric in the car. It goes on and off or whatever.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen, right? Because they were just driving already.
Yeah, they were driving. She didn't say anything happened to their electric stuff. But I asked her, so do you believe in aliens? And she did say, I don't know. But she describes the story like to a T, exactly how she did to me like 20 years ago. So it was like a really traumatic experience that she doesn't think is explainable in any other way.
And that's a weird thing, too, because she didn't grow up knowing or thinking what aliens were. And so she can't identify that paranormal experience to aliens. I mean, you know, I'm putting words in her mouth in this situation, but it's just like trying to imagine someone trying to explain a paranormal experience.
Right, right, right. I mean, you're just saying that like she wasn't tainted by like all of these other stories.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, that there was nothing.
Does she think, did you ask her if she thought it could, did you ever talk about like, could it be like experimental, like military, you know, test flight type of thing? Or did you talk about that at all?
Well, that's what, okay. So the place that was the military place that was near there, she said, is how everybody was always explaining it away. So she 100% believe, like, knows what she saw. And then she said that, well, the next day they were hearing on the radio that other people were saying kind of the same thing. And so that was their justification, was that other people had that same experience like that exact day. And then, she said that it would be explained away by that White Sands military base or whatever, that they would say it was just that. Like,
did you talk to her about like outside of fear? Did she feel anything else?
No, she made a joke that she knew that she didn't get abducted because she was still just there driving. But she was mostly just scared, like really, really scared. But no, I don't think she felt like weird alien stuff.
I would imagine there would be like some sort of like sixth sense of dread or something.
When you're like a girl or a woman, you have that all the time when you're driving alone in the dark.
Right.
And so it was like,
even with your mommy?
I think so. Especially when your mommy's going, get the fuck out of here. You know?
They're coming.
Yeah, of course. So they're just two women, you know, driving in the dark. And they're right. Like, oh my. She said they wouldn't get out of the car when they got to the diner. They just sat in the car and they waited to watch people come out of the place so that the people coming out of the place, if they were expecting someone walking out of the diner to look at their car and see like a flying saucer hovering above it and go, holy fuck. Like, that's how scared they were.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, why aren't people coming out here and looking up at this saucer that's definitely above us right now? Because we're terrified. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the first time I've heard, I mean, it's not first person, but you got it first person. So, I mean, it's third person to me, but like, I don't think I've ever heard a story of an alien, not abduction, but like an encounter.
Interaction. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will from say anyone that I've known.
From most of the ones that I've looked into, most of them don't have that electric interference situation, but they're definitely.
Oh, they don't.
So, yeah.
Just the ones we talk about because it's awesome.
It's kind of like, I know, right? It's like something's definitely like turning on, you know, we on purpose.
Well, maybe, or maybe someone just added that shit and that's not a part of it, you know?
Maybe like a story like hers was actually real. And when they talk about some of that other stuff, it's not. They're making stuff up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What's sorry, Willie, what's the Close Encounters?
You know, when his face gets all burned from the light, like a lot of those stories,
sunburned. Like if you haven't seen Close Encounters, he survives. He just gets sunburned. But and so does everyone else who shows up to like watch drag race.
A lot of those are radiation burns.
Right.
There are a few stories on record of them of UFOs shutting down nuclear facilities and then turning them back on.
So here's my thing now, though.
Oh,
I'm sorry not to cut you off. I've just heard that so many times. And I know that Emily hasn't. I'm sorry. That's a whole thing where like it all ties. Once you get into the lore of this stuff, regardless of how it started or what's actually true, now the lore is that they don't like nukes. They show up around nukes to like shut it down. But my point is, I completely believe your mother. I have no reason not to. I've met her.
Uh-huh. She said to tell you both hi.
Oh, say hey. Say hey. Nice. Say, how's your bod? Say, quote, Wade said, how's your bod?
Okay.
And it's not salacious. There's no time loss, right? You're driving the entire time. The car never stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I'm like less inclined to believe the ones where the car does turn off and there is time loss and stuff like that, because I'm sure not every encounter is the exact same, but it just sounds very believable and very sort of like what you would think would happen, right? Like,
yeah. And I love the small details of like light not working the way light works, you know, but not being able to explain that. Sorry, I cut you off. Go on.
It's bumming me out, because if there's aliens, then like fuck these aliens, man, because they're not helping at all. So fuck them. You convinced me that aliens exist and that they're assholes.
I agree with you in the sense that like, dude, like, listen, you don't need to be our savior, but just saying hi would actually be a big savior for us. You know what I mean?
It's like the dumbest move ever to show up like just strategically, even if you have no agenda on a planet, right? You show up on a planet and you just meet like these people who are like, you can watch them. You watch them scurrying around, like picking up your pieces of your ship or whatever. Or maybe you're out cold, or maybe you're dead, whatever. But like the ones that we don't know about, where the aliens interacted with the humans, you watch the government like kind of do this stuff. You probably can't read the paper or whatever, so you don't know how they spun it. But if I go to a different planet and they're just like keeping me in like some weird thing, and I'm only meeting like the same three people over and over again, I'm going to be like, dude, this is fucked up. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you hiding me from these people? I want to get out there, man. Do you have ice cream here? Like, I want to go around your city and like see what's up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so the government aliens. keeping them from doing anything.
Oh, well, if they're like prisoners, I guess it's a different thing. But like, try and stop me if I'm an alien and I've got like propulsion devices that don't use fuel or whatever. I don't know. I can only imagine that they're in some kind of suit.
You've already done a bad job to where people have stories of interacting with you. So do a worse job.
That's why I think these aliens are complicit. I feel like if they wanted to be known, they would be. And the reason that they don't is because they're like using us.
What are they using us for?
Fucking the same thing that everyone uses us for, like money, like whatever fuels their ships, keep the hamsters on the wheel. And
I know the speculation really goes off the charts, because there's some stories of like, oh, the abducting us, the hybrids, the eating us,
which I love. I love that shit. I listen, if they're making hybrids, if they're like in secret making hybrids to like make us cooler, like if that's the evolution of what humans become is like human alien hybrids, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Like, why not? I'm not a racist. I don't need like to like keep my genes pure.
Right. Like, you know, you picture dogs and it's just like the purebred versus the mutt is like,
and the mutt is the coolest one.
What if they're,
but
just
also like
introverts?
Who's in charge of that?
I think they're just introverts.
No, fuck
you
that.
Guys have me convinced that they're just introverts that just come here and they're just, what?
That's so cowardly, dude. Even if I'm an introvert, I'm going to be like, let me, I want to see what's going on. I want to talk to like a guy. I don't want to talk to your main guy because like, I know where I come from. The main guys suck. Maybe their main guys are great.
Here's where my mindset is that when you deal with a wild animal, the one that you don't want to deal with is the one that's in, lives in fear. You don't want to deal with a scared fucking animal because it's going to fucking bite. It's going to bite. So like, us as a species is like so fucking scared of everything that like, they, if you're coming close just to see how we've,
let's talk about this because like you're saying that, but I don't believe that that's true. If an alien walked up to me, yeah, I would be terrified. But if I could, if he did, he or she or they did anything that kind of made me go like, oh, this guy's not going to kill me, then I would be fine. I would be fine.
Well, like, see, mom's story of like, hey, let's just get close and see if they pull over, you know, get the fuck out of here. Don't fucking drive.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but then they're just morons who don't understand. Like, we don't just pull over. Like, why are we going to pull over? This is dangerous here.
You don't, terrorize two women in the dark. Like,
yeah, they're like, oh, it'll be friends. Like, we'll make friends. They'll pull over, we'll be friends. And the girls are just like, oh, fuck.
Use the red light. Try the red light.
It's like, yeah. They also have different definitions of like color schemes. So like red is bad for us, but red for them is like friend and love. Yeah. And we're like, no, it means danger. Get out of here. It's a warning.
They're like, use the red one. That's not working. Use the green one. What will help them pull over?
Purple, I think. I think everyone would pull over for a nice purple
they
light.
Would. Women would pull over for purple or like, you know, like a rainbow party bus or something.
All they need to do is like, if there's two women in the car, you just got to do like a flashing light sign that says like free mimosas.
Yeah.
And then the women are like, yeah, I'm in.
Bachelorette party.
Is it brunch?
Yeah, they're going to get the messages confused. Like, we just need to show them a picture of a dick because all these like bachelorette parties have these weird penis things.
They're like sucking out of straw dicks and they're wearing dicks on their heads. They love them. They love them.
Dude, they would have been even more scared if they were dicks.
Oh my God. Then it's just like, they're going to rape us. They're going to fucking
remember
showing
this.
Us dicks. So yeah, I mean, like, okay, in light of this new evidence, I mean, I'll be open-minded. All right, so, okay, I'm just trying to wrap my head around like how I live my life now.
First of all, my mom will be so touched that you believe her story. I just have to say,
well, how did she work through it? Because this was, what year did you say it was? I forgot.
1966. She was 17.
66.
Yeah.
So it's now been, you know, 50 or 60 years.
Yeah. And she still tells the story.
But what did she do to like rectify it with herself? Like, how did she sleep at night? Not in the first week, but in like the first year, like how did she kind of like, did you talk to her
real,
about that?
Like life changing experience. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. I don't know though. The more we talk about like just that general fear women have, it was almost like that was what like the, you know, that was at the core of what it was. It almost was like her and her mom were both like, I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was not cool. You know, and then it never happened again. I asked her, I said, did you ever have any other encounter like that of any kind? Because she lived right there and she said never again. So I
think, what that means to me is that, like, aliens are not telepathic. Let's just say that this cigar-shaped thing, which is on brand, there are a lot of cigar-shaped UFOs.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's say that it was aliens, right? So it means they're not telepathic, because they would have been like, calm, it's fine, you're not in danger, right?
Yep.
Or maybe they're not, maybe they can't lie or something. Maybe they can't, maybe they are evil and they're telepathic, and you and your mom should have been, your mom and grandma should have been afraid.
Couple funny thoughts. One of them is, if they were telepathic and we didn't recognize that ability, we wouldn't be able to hear them, right? So it's like our ears are shut off.
But that's not how it works.
Well, if you project
I'll say. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cut you off. My definition of telepathic is that they could beam their intentions into your head so that you wouldn't be afraid.
Word. And I buy into that too.
Wouldn't the people have to be telepathic too for that?
No, well, okay. I think that's what Willie's saying. And I think, like, that's a pretty shitty superpower if, like, the receiver has to also be telepathic.
So let me throw this. This is just a funny lore thing that, like, it's deep, but it's just like one idea is that our psychic abilities were taken away from us on purpose. And so, like, rest of the universe can communicate telepathically, but we just can't. Some people are breaking through. I know. It's a whole
nother topic. That's that whole other thing, right? Like, okay, sure. Let's even say that exists. So they're not like brain scientists. They don't know how to, like, get that block off of us. They're just like, I can imagine the guy
said hi.
Right. I can imagine the guys flying this are like meathead, stupid fucking, like, military guys, right? I'm not saying that, like, everyone goes in the military stupid, but you are, like, really young and your brain isn't really formed yet. And you're getting, I'm sorry. Now I'm spinning off. But, like, let's say that alien pilots are like American pilots and they've been, like, brainwashed into just, like, thinking that they're doing good, whatever.
Whoa,
But the entire point is that they can't communicate with us because they're not scientists, they're not brain people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
so they don't know how to fix
our pilots are not don't deal
give
with
it, give it, give a pilot a fucking give him some blueprints and have him they, like, train build a building, like
G-forces, not heart.
You're saying
forces.
They need to bring the PR expert along.
Yeah. I spun off into this telepathic thing, which was, I introduced it and I apologize, but, like, that's what we've talked about in the past, that aliens are telepathic and stuff, and maybe they are, but maybe they didn't send the right people that could actually be telepathic with these humans who their pineal gland has been, like, crustified from all of the microplastics or
fluoride and heavy metals. Here's another fun dumb spin is that there's always been this idea that somehow our fear somehow feeds them that energy. They can siphon that energy. So it's like, hey, just come scare a couple people and take a drink. They're just like,
yeah. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, they're like fear vampires or whatever.
That's evil. That would
Which
be
is,
totally evil.
Well, it's super evil, but when you realize that's what they're doing. Yeah. It's like when you meet a dog who's real scared and you go, like, oh, he's scared because he's feeding off my energy or whatever. I'll level my energy, you know, to meet this dog. But they don't want that. They want the fear. So they're doing it weird ways. They fly in their little cigar ship behind you and, like, flashing lights, making you as scared.
Taking a little sip. It's a weird thing because, like, I don't inherently buy into that, but I do believe that our emotions create an energy that is real, that is tangible, that
I think that goes without, that's like proven, right? I mean, unless the bees and the dogs, I've been fed that lie my whole life and I just agreed with it, but like I've always heard that bees and dogs can smell fear. Is that
But you're saying they're just like assholes.
I think that's,
they're just drinking it.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Okay.
Right. But, it's like it's the bully who feeds on, when this guy sees me in the hallway, he's going to be afraid because I can fuck him up at any point. Is it going to be today that I choose to fuck him up? No, because I want to feed off of that fear for a little bit. I feel so powerful knowing that this motherfucker is afraid of me, right?
So then maybe it's like a good thing that the government's keeping them from us, because then the government knows, right? They're just assholes trying to terrorize us.
I mean, that would be on par for our government, because they're like, fuck our citizens. As long as we know that these guys are cool, like, yeah, eat all their fear. Like, go ahead, scare everybody. That's probably true. What they would do.
One thing that they always describe away paranormal activity with is like ball lightning. Just some weird phenomena of energy happening that we are experiencing, and maybe we define it by an alien craft, but it is just some weird energy thing happening that has nothing to do with either them driving or them being there. They just, it concurrently happened while they were driving. Just some weird energy that lit up. And
this is what happened to my mom.
Yeah. Just exploring an idea of something that we can't explain, but actually was not an entity.
Ball lightning. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Ball lightning is what they say a lot of UFOs are. And I'm like, well,
and ball lightning is like a natural phenomena where the lightning never goes outside of the cloud, or I mean, I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, it's some kind of static electricity that's like charged and doesn't move like electricity, but it's still like now different colors, you know. That this is where swamp gas comes in, where it's like, oh, swamp gas came out and it was lit up by.
But you know what we're seeing here? We're seeing the evolution of the cover up, where it started as like, weather balloons, which like I've never even heard a weather balloon outside of these stories that we talk about. I don't know what a weather balloon is.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. You're trying to measure atmospheric things with this.
But maybe in aluminum. The 50s or the 40s or whatever, weather balloons were a thing that everyone knew about, and they're like, yeah, weather balloons. Or maybe not, because I never heard of swamp gas or ball lightning before these things either. But there's cameras and shit, so people are like looking around going like, what the fuck is this? And then whoever's getting online and going, that's just ball lightning. What's the swamp, like, what is the, how does swamp gas different than every other, like, you know, why, how's it different than oxygen? Right. Why is swamp
just
gas
like so like one example parallel is like around these geysers are just geothermal activity happening. So sometimes there's really poisonous gas that comes out of some of these geysers, and then a whole field of animals will die, or people too, and they won't know why, because when they go investigate it, they don't have the gas is still in them. They just breathed in this toxic gas and died. So the idea of swamp gas is like, oh, it's just trapped gas that maybe gets, I don't want to say sparked, but it just kind of lights up or flames up.
But it doesn't have anything to do with swamp, like actual literal swamps.
I feel like the mud traps more gas, so you can actually experience it more, geysers and swamps. But it does feel like a very blanket excuse for paranormal stuff.
How does that explain any paranormal stuff though? What's the explanation?
Some neon gas is trapped from a million years ago, and it happens to bubble up from the surface, and it happens to light up because of some like, I don't know how it lights up, but let's say.
Oh, so it doesn't do anything to me. It's just what I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it just lights up, and then you think it's some entity, but it's just some trapped gas that came out and lit up.
And when they say that it's swamp gas, that's on the ground, not in the sky?
Both. They can be anywhere.
Okay.
But it just has always it feels been like a UFO flimsy excuse. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
I'm like, show me swamp gas and then let's talk.
Do you guys feel like all of that stuff is like you have to have someone with you to confirm? Because when you're talking about this, I'm thinking of my mom's story. And if it wasn't that they were both together, then it could all, everyone would explain all this away as figments of their own imagination.
Yep. Yep.
Well, when
people start
her, right?
Not believing you, as soon as someone doesn't believe you, then you rewrite the story in your head. Like, well, maybe it was something else.
Yeah. To try to like sensationalize it or whatever.
Or
I don't know. Are you really, are you that weak willed that you want to fit in so well that like when someone says that's not what happened, then you just start rewriting your own.
Right.
Well,
I would say, maybe I'm sorry. I'll just say this real quick. I think some people don't want to have the conversation after and they don't want to defend whatever they think it was. Okay. You don't believe me. Whatever. I don't want everyone to talk about this again. Sorry. What were you going to say, Emily?
When you asked me about ghosts before, I had one experience that was only mine alone when I was sleeping in my room as a kid, and the window, it looked like ghosts in my window like this. And the only way, I was the only one who ever saw it. And the only, I swear to God, I thought it was a ghost. It was like a ghost dancing in my window. And the only explanation that I could think was like heat was coming off the heater or something and going into the window. But I think it's true what Wade was saying, actually, like that was like my experience and there was no other person there to confirm it. But I know what I saw.
Well, and so here's the weird thing. Your brain is smart enough to create an excuse that you actually believe it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Oh, it's heat. It's heat. And maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe it that's what it was. Maybe it wasn't. And we have these paranormal experiences and our brain writes away what it thinks it is. And you just believe it and you don't question it. And when you do question it, it's like, why would I question something that is true?
Mm-hmm. Do you believe every experience like that you have, like that it's something paranormal or whatever?
I have lived in so much fear and have so much anxiety that I definitely know that some of the things that I am scared of, I created in my head. I you know what I mean? And
I feel like it would be really great if like a well-adjusted, I don't know, therapist or something just like came out and was like, oh yeah, there's like aliens. I had this thing. It just feels like everyone we get like accounts for, your mom excluded because, you know, she's not in the papers or whatever. But every time we hear about something, it's like, it just feels like they have something to gain from telling it.
And this is why I always think that like pilot, especially military pilots, are great witnesses because they're trained to observe and they don't want to be discredited. So for them to say something is like putting their whole entire being on the line of like,
it is.
For sure. I mean, did you watch who's what's Nathan's new show called? Rehearsal? Do you watch Rehearsal?
No,
year?
I haven't seen it yet. I hear it's really good. Oof, no,
it's great. Oh, it's so good. Emily, you watch it?
No, but I've heard about it. I'll watch
it. What the fuck? What are you guys watching that you don't watch that? I know Willie's like busy. Well, I guess you both have kids. I guess you're both busy.
Or whatever, I'm not watching like, anything, is what's happening.
Blah. This is really hard to do a podcast with people who just don't consume media.
I do.
I saw a movie this year. that wasn't a kid's. They're all kids' family movies. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. Let's wrap it up. I want to just say that my closing thoughts on this are, first off, Emily, thank you for sharing your mom's story. I love hearing personal accounts that are like kind of lost through history, because there's going to be no record of her story 1 year gone.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also interesting. I mean, she could tell, you know, she could tell her daughter.
I know. It's just funny because I picture so many stories just being lost through time, because it's like, well, nobody, I don't want to tell this story.
The interesting part, though, is that we've been talking about this stuff for 10 years. And the first time that we get like a real kind of first person account of it, it matches up with, like, I mean, for the most part,
I didn't know any of that stuff that you said.
Exactly. Yeah. So like Emily doesn't know any of this stuff, and I'm assuming your mom doesn't. So like so the story is untainted, right? So that means this is actually happening to me. I'm convinced that this is actually happening. And now I'm even more mad, because sitting here going like, what do I watch on TV? Ugh, I'm so bored.
Yeah.
But honestly, this is why I will spend hours and days just like watching somebody's story. I'm like, what's your story? What? Because I'm looking for something that I can take that's tangible, that I can apply to another story.
It drives you nuts, right? Because like, what are you, I mean, like, unless you're going to be an investigative journalist and like actually go out and like, talk to people who this has happened to, you're just spinning your wheels going like, there's aliens and no one's talking about it. And like, it'll drive you crazy, right?
Don't you think that the only way to find out then is to go ask all the people who didn't want to say it? Like, those are the people who didn't want to tell the story are the ones.
Yeah, but
who
you can't
actually
find them. How are you going to find them? Because they don't want to say it.
I know.
They're just not trying to get famous off of it. But you could go knock on doors in Roswell and go,
well,
hey,
that's a great documentary to just interview randos. And got any paranormal stories? Okay. But also, if you've never experienced anything, here's your chance. Here's your claim to fame. Here's your 5 seconds. Like, oh, I got a story for you.
I don't know. Do people still look at camera crews in the same way? Like, do they still like get excited about being on the Channel 2 news? Because cameras are everywhere now. And like, I watch a lot of First Amendment auditors, and they go around with their cameras, and people are like repulsed by cameras.
Don't
like, they
record
don't wanna
me.
Be. Yeah. So like, if you showed up to like, if you just went around Roswell, I was like, hey, I'm just like getting stories. I don't know. I don't know that they would be like, oh, I can tell a story. I feel like that's as good a way to approach it as anything. Just like cold call some people and be like, hey, if you have any stories, like, let's hear them. I just don't know if you would.
Yeah, I know.
I was just saying that that's the only way to know for sure, because aren't you guys saying that anybody who's making it up is doing it for the sake of
famous? That's what I say, because I'm pretty jaded when it comes to that stuff. Like, I don't trust anyone to tell me a story if they have some sort of monetization behind.
Yeah, you're selling a book. I don't want to hear your story. You know. Yeah. But also in the same vein, you're selling a book because you want people to know. So my favorite thing is to watch someone on their deathbed trying to be like, I'm dead. Fucking here's some
stuff. But
people should know this.
That's so like 40 years ago type of thinking. Like, we have the internet right now. You could just publish a blog. You could put it up anywhere. No one would see it, because all the algorithms are just pushing you, I don't know, suntan lotion or whatever. But like, I guess the point is the whole happiness vampire thing or fear vampire thing is like, I don't know. It's interesting to me.
I think that their motivation is everything. I like that. Their motivation is everything. That affects everything. Why would they do anything that they do if we don't know why they're doing it? So if we don't know why, then we can't really figure out if they're even doing it.
All right. But so anyway, Emily, thank you again for telling us your mom's story. And yeah, do you have anything to plug? Do you want to throw out your socials or I don't, you know, whatever?
No. No.
Okay. Well, it's an obligatory ask. I have to because people come on here and promote I'm
just
shit.
I'm just a person. Working. Doing life.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue the conversation with Emily Langner over there. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.